Welcome into the podcast room. You're listening to episode 82 of CCP, the Caleb and Kathy podcast, also known as
Collective Corruption Publication.
We'll see how well you're picking up from back there, because hopefully it's okay, because you're just a little farther away than you would normally be. We're in the new apartment. We're trying this in the second bedroom. We're going to see how it ends up sounding. Hopefully it doesn't sound too echoey, because we're not in our confined closet with all the baffling. We do still have the baffling. We could put it up in here. Might look kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm much more comfortable, though. I like having space versus being trapped in a closet and it getting really warm and sweaty. So I vote room.
All right, well, we'll let the audio decide that.
All right, what are we doing today?
So this week, we're covering Bad Education, the 2011 film starring Cameron Diaz.
2019.
Wait. Oh, no. I did all my research on Bad Teacher. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. You didn't even let me finish my joke.
I just thought you were, like, getting wrong information and, like, telling... It's hard for me to hear lies and not respond to them.
No, you're fine. Yeah, that was my bad teacher joke.
I don't want to remind people of that terrible movie. Moving on.
That is not the movie we're talking about. Okay, so this movie came out in 2019. It was distributed by HBO Films. I couldn't find any budget or box office numbers. Obviously no box office because I think it just went straight to HBO.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't find any budget numbers. It did debut at the Toronto Independent Film Festival. So
we're counting it.
And some IndieWire article, right? Listed it under indie movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was directed by Corey Finley. What do you got for background?
This movie is a crime / comedy / drama.
Wow. The Holy Trinity.
I know, right? Everything you could ever want. It was written by Mike, not Migalski, Mikowski. Very different.
What was the first one you said?
Migalski?
That's a Wazowski. Are you trying to think of Mike Wazowski?
Well, we both had field jokes at the beginning. This is going really well. This movie is based on a true story.
Good point.
It's adapted from a New York Magazine article on the real story.
Mm-hmm.
And the runtime is 108 minutes.
New York Magazine, is that the one that Michael Cera and Abby Jacobson worked for in Person to Person?
Callback!
I haven't heard of that before.
The movie is... Was that a joke or
no,
a
you're
question?
Fine. Continue.
The movie is set in the Long Island village of Roslyn.
Of course.
And it takes place year-wise, early 2000s, or if you want to be specific, 2002.
Although I'm still questioning if Motorola Razr phones existed in 2002. I should have looked that up. I will do it later.
Okay. I would say our three well-known names of this movie are Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, and Ray Romano.
Hey, Ray. Ray made it. I didn't know if he was going to... I thought it was just going to be a two.
Well, it was. I didn't realize Ray Romano was in this movie. But he was. So.
Tabra. All right, and now we're moving on. Nailed the Ray, Everybody Loves Raymond joke.
Okay. Hugh Jackman plays Frank Tassone, who is the superintendent of schools. Allison Janney plays Pam Gluckin, who is the assistant superintendent. And Ray Romano plays Big Bob Spicer.
Big Bob Spicer.
And we have some other people, which we will get to when we go to the plot. Ready to talk about the movie and what happens?
2006. Busted him.
Now, if you've already forgotten what Caleb is referring to, it's the Motorola Razr, which is really important.
Come on, everybody remembered, like, the first kid in their grade to get the Motorola
middle
Razr.
School. Yeah.
Well, if you're around our age, yeah, it was middle school.
Sorry. True.
I'm 40, and it was a kid in middle school who got it.
You were not 40.
But yeah, like, it was the cool phone to have. It was, like, the first really cool flip phone, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That wasn't the early... Okay.
Yeah. Fair. Everybody was still rocking, like, the Nokia flip phones and stuff, you know. Sony Ericssons.
Sure.
Thank you for walking down this nostalgia lane with me.
You're welcome.
We can get into the movie now.
Okay. All right. This was one of those movies that I didn't take a lot of notes on. And then at the end I was like, wow, I haven't taken a lot of notes. I better, like, write some stuff down.
To its detriment? Or just, like, you were so enthralled by the story?
It was kind of... It followed... Good question. It kind of followed the trope of being an indie movie where not a lot was happening. Like, there was, like, a big scandal.
Right.
But beyond that, not a lot was going on. So I felt like I was just focused on the movie and didn't feel like I had to, like... Like, I remember it. It's fresh.
There
just watched,
like,
it.
A lot of little moments you needed to write down,
yeah,
type of thing.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I guess we can get into this now since it's, like, it's kind of on the top of my mind. But it was shot in such an interesting slash kind of odd way that I was just, like...
Elaborate.
Focused on what was happening in the movie and didn't want to look down. It wouldn't show all the time, like, people that were talking. It would be focused on, like, our main characters, mainly Frank and Pam. And it felt like it was shot in a narrow way. So, like, there was a narrow focus on the main characters. You couldn't really see what was going on.
Like, close-ups and
yeah.
stuff.
In the background. No, but, like, also narrow. Like, it just felt like...
It felt claustrophobic or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. And...
I did notice some, like, handy cam work of, like, in a few different shots. Like, following the character behind their back. And, like, you can tell, like, it's someone, like, meant to look like somebody following them type of thing.
Yeah.
Not in a creepy way, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but... So, do you... excuse me. You weren't the only one that noticed... Or I wasn't the only one
who noticed some cinematography, unique cinematography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that happens in a movie, it either, yeah, it definitely sticks out, but it either, like, confuses you or captivates you. And you're just.
And this one.
Was more on the side of captivating.
Okay.
I don't know. I felt myself, like, being pretty focused. Towards the end, I did ask my classic question of, like, how much time do we have left?
For those keeping track on your Excel spreadsheets at home, tally that in, that this movie did get asked that question.
It did, and it was probably at, like, 33 minutes left kind of mark.
Kind of 33 minutes and 57 seconds, but who's keeping track of the exact time?
Yeah, so...
For those of you watching along at home, go to that marker and see when Kathy got bored and had to go to the bathroom.
It was more like, I just wanted to factor in a bathroom break. But anyway, so that being said, I don't think we need to go, like, scene by scene or anything. We can just kind of give, like, a general synopsis and go into kind of what we thought about this movie, because I feel like it was thought-provoking.
Yeah, I mean, it's based on a true story, so
I do
not
love
really
those.
Spoilers, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, well,
because
yeah,
it's something that actually happened.
Yeah.
I mean, we will talk about the plot, but
yeah.
It's something that actually happened, so. Alright, so let's just start at the beginning, I guess, since I didn't bring a synopsis.
Okay.
So, Frank Tassone, I can't remember if you mentioned the character names, you just said the cast members, right?
I said the character names for Hugh Jackman, Allison Janney, and Ray Romano.
Okay. Yeah, you did. Right. Big Bob. All right. So Frank is the superintendent. His school district has just become the number 4. We're still not... Did you gather what it is? Is it in the state, on Long Island?
I'm going to guess in the state.
In the state of New York? Or maybe in New York City public schools or something? I don't know if Long Island has included that. It is a borough, right? So...
I think they have separate districts, so I would just say in the state.
Okay, sorry.
It didn't say, so we're just assuming.
All right, so in the state.
Maybe in the area.
And then they're going to try to build this big new sky bridge thing that I guess goes on... Is this what you gathered? It goes, like, on top of the school and then connects one end of the school to the other so you can, like, quickly get from one of the school to the other?
Yeah, for... I think it was just for the high school.
Right, yeah, I think it's just for one of the schools. Yeah. And then this young student, who's a junior, I think, Rachel.
Yes, she is a junior.
Yeah, her name is Rachel. She's like new on the school paper, and she's been assigned to do an article on the Skybridge, so she goes and asks. She goes to ask the assistant superintendent, Pam, but she's not there, so Frank talks to her, who's the superintendent, and then I wrote down here, he's gonna regret that puff piece statement.
Right. So, he encouraged her not to do a puff piece, but to dig deeper and use her journalistic skills.
Yeah. So, she's doing that, and then later on, not as far into the movie as I thought it was going to be, because from watching the trailer and you know, the name Bad Education, you know there's something, like, bad going to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, at the beginning, I'm kind of writing, like, Frank seems like a good guy, ... so far.
Yeah, we kind of see that Frank is, like, the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
We see that he cares about his the students of the schools. He gets to know the faculty personally, knows personal information about them, but, like, in a not creepy way,
yeah.
I guess. It just seems like he has a really good memory for, like, he used to be an English teacher for, like, past students, and just really takes the time to get to know people and know their interests, which does make you a good educator. So that was something that's positive about him. But we don't see him as being that scandalous. I mean, I guess the most scandalous thing is that he is gay.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's open about it, I guess, is the reason that would be scandalous, maybe.
Yeah.
He seems to be hiding that.
Yeah, but we don't see him as being questionable. Now, that being said, Pam, we see her as being questionable.
Right, she's always, like, staying late at the school and looking at these spreadsheets, and then later on we see, well, pretty early on.
Like, we see her fudging the first numbers.
Yeah. Half hour, yeah. Pam's fudging the numbers.
And then we see her son going out and spending a bunch of money at Ace Hardware.
Many different Ace Hardwares.
Yes.
Spending, like, $30,000.
And Pam's niece works for her at the district office, and the niece is, like, asking her for money, and she says, oh, just use the district card.
She wants a Sony PlayStation for her son.
Yeah.
Which, again, if this is 2002, we're assuming this is a PlayStation 2? No.
Did she say Nintendo?
No, she said Sony PlayStation.
Mm, okay.
Which I believe this would be a PlayStation 2, because Sony PlayStation came out in 1996, if I'm not mistaken, so...
Let's see. That checks out? We're good on that? We're okay with the PlayStation? Yeah. Okay, good. I don't want to go down a deep dive that I really...
Don't question me on technology here.
Yeah, you've proven to know things about technology.
Alright, so Pam gets caught by... Okay, the Ace Hardware guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, why is the school spending a bunch of money at Ace Hardware and then goes to Big Bob, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he answers his Razor phone from 2006. And
so, drop it, Caleb! Nobody cares!
And they're like, oh, this is like home improvement stuff. This is like shower head. Mm. What is this?
Right, this is...
And then they look into it and they're like, oh, Pam spent like embezzled probably at least like $250,000.
Yes.
So... they force her to resign, basically, and sign an NDA, like, you can't tell anybody, mm-hmm. you're going to pay it all back.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, $250,000. Okay, yep.
Get right on that.
And again, like we said, at this point, it seems like Frank's a good guy, like, he didn't know about this.
Yeah, that's what we think.
Yeah, he seems like a really nice guy. He attends these conferences and, like, paying attention while the other guys are, like, screwing off and playing craps at a casino or something in mm-hmm. Vegas.
Yeah, he is painted in a positive light. It seems like he's respected by the parents, by the board. Everyone really likes him.
Okay, and then since I mentioned Vegas, I will bring up, this is where he runs into the student, kind of like you were talking about, remembers a student and this paper from 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Seems a little crazy, but maybe possible. Okay, And then he starts, like, dating him. Mm-hmm. So this is where we discover that Frank is gay. Mm-hmm. But is it weird to you that that's a former student and, like, he remembers that? Do you think it's, like, only about him and he was, like, kind of fixated on him?
He might have had a crush.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was curious about. I didn't know if it was that or just, like, oh, he remembers all the students.
At first I was like, yeah, wow, that's good for him. But then later on it's like...
He seemed pretty...
Maybe smitten. He was kind of infatuated with his former student, which is pretty unsettling.
Skeevy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely...
it was consensual.
Because how old would you guess Frank is? Like, 50s probably?
Yeah.
And then the student was probably like 30s, yeah. Early 30s, if so he was in high school 15 years ago.
It's consensual. It's fine
and consensual, but it's just weird to think about.
The past.
Yeah.
The past plays it odd.
I don't know if you've had any of that in your, do you know any of, like, your former classmates that, like, have dated? I thought I remember you saying something. Somebody said something. You don't have to, like, put them on blast here, but just a yes or no confirmation.
In that I personally know?
Yeah, not, like, dated while you're in school. Like, that would be really scandalous. But, like, later on. I thought I remember somebody saying that. But
I think it was, like, someone that they worked with or something. I don't think... I really don't know what you're referring to.
Okay, so. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyways, we agree that that's kind of weird.
I feel like now I have to ask you. Did that happen in your district?
No. Oh, okay. I thought I remember somebody telling me, and I would think it'd be you, because you're the only person I talk to. Anyways.
Not sure. I don't really know what you're talking about. So
jumping back forward, that was before Pam got caught. So like we said, Pam got caught. They're like, you gotta pay it back, and you're gonna resign.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then Rachel continues to investigate. And she really, I wrote down here, Rachel equals Hannah Jaffe Walt.
Oh, from Rapal? No,
you're close.
This American Life?
/ Nice White Parents or whatever. Nice White Parents or whatever the new podcast was.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, because it's also about New York school education system.
Oh.
But this is more like a financial thing. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
They talk about finance, at least in that first episode.
Yeah. So Rachel does a very good job. And I read a little bit about the real Rachel. Her name was Rebecca Rombaum. And she is not still a reporter.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
What does she do now?
She worked for some startup, it sounded like.
Okay.
Anyways, so she does, like, a very good job. In the article, it said, like, they probably exaggerated a little on, like, how deep I went into this stuff. And it was, like, a help from the rest of the editorial staff as well. But maybe she was just being humble. Anyway, she does a very good job of, like, digging through their old records.
Well, I think what she... So she starts putting... Yeah. She goes through, like, old records and stuff that that Pam gives her access to. But I think what really, like, made her kind of think, like, oh, this is more of a scandal than I thought, was when she saw the leaking ceiling.
Yeah, like, you have office. All this money, but we're building a sky bridge, but we can't fix the leaky roof.
Yeah.
Good investigative journalism by Rachel here.
I know, really... and I...
Really made me jealous. I'm like, man, like, we always go back to this. I wish I would have applied myself, because I feel like that's something maybe I've just gotten into in more recent years, like, listening to all these, like, investigative journalism.
Probably could have been in journalism, or at least, like,
like, people digging through, like, old documents and, like, oh, what's this? This doesn't make sense. Like, that seems, like, really cool. Like, even if it's not, like,
sounds like you,
like,
lost your calling.
Like, could have been a report. Violent. Crimes, you know, like, even, like, I guess I could corruption. Be, like, a comptroller or something, you know, that's what that is, you look through, and or an auditor or something, yeah.
You have a lot of strengths, and so you can go in a lot of directions.
Okay, this isn't the Pat Caleb on the Back podcast, so...
No, I'm just saying, it's like, I feel like I keep figuring out different things that you could have gone into, and...
It's not too late. I'm still youngish.
You are still young. No, I'm just saying, like, you're a smart guy. Got a lot going for you.
Thank you. All right. I feel like I've been talking a lot. Do you want to take over? I'm about at the end of my, like, summary notes, because I also kind of stopped taking notes at
some point. I don't want to just give a summary.
I know. I realized a few minutes ago, like, wow, she did say, didn't want to do that, and I'm kind of just doing that.
I think that it's easy for us to do that, but I want us to also, like, talk about what we felt about the movie, and maybe, like, some questions we had.
Okay. I liked, on a non-story related thing, the dramatic swells throughout.
Yeah.
Very, like, dramatic music playing.
Oh, my
like
gosh,
when
yes.
Frank comes back after the article comes out. Like, bah, bah, bah,
bah. Yeah, and, like, the coffee was spilt on the ground. So, like, it's focused on that. And then it slowly goes up.
Back to the cinematography.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it was so interestingly shot. Like,
mm-hmm.
So much so that, like, someone like me who knows nothing about making movies...
Noticed it.
So maybe it was overdone.
Maybe you're just, you know, notice it more. You're getting more of a trained eye.
Yeah, from watching all these movies. Yeah. You might be onto something. Well, we have to, like, analyze them, right? So, like, it goes up, and then you see everyone reading Rachel's article. And just, like, looks of shock on their face. Yeah. That was really well done.
Because nobody suspected innocent Frank. Sorry if you guys heard that car horn. Kathy just jumped.
It was really startling. My God.
It wasn't at you.
Okay. Whenever you hear a horn, though, you're just conditioned to think that you did something wrong. Okay. Yes. So it
That was an invalid point on your podcast.
It has, well, I disagree. It has, now I have road rage. I'm just sitting in an office. Okay. Anyway. Yes. So the drama was very obvious in the movie, but it, like, the music really does play a, the soundtrack plays a role.
Yeah, I think it was fitting. It was, like, overly dramatic for sure, but I thought it was, like, fitting and pretty
But
cool.
Also, like, these, like, the characters were kind of dramatic people.
Yeah.
In,
I'm
like,
sure
the
in real
community.
Life, too, you know.
Yeah. And so, it just... That fits. It all fit. Like,
yeah, I thought it was a good choice.
There was some thinking behind the filming of this.
Some thought went into it.
Yeah. Probably, like, spent some time in the area and got to know.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about Hugh Jackman and Allison Chaney's great Long Island accents.
I don't know if they were great.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Australian.
That's a
good
point.
I don't know where Allison Janney's from. I think she's American.
Yeah. His hair, Hugh Jackman's hair in this, was definitely that, like, stereotypical, like, New York.
I mean, we looked at the real pictures of the people, though, and, like, that's what the guy's hair looked like.
Yeah,
I know. For reference, for anybody who doesn't know what the real, was it Frank Tassone looks like, just picture Anthony Scaramucci, and you basically got it.
Yeah.
If you guys remember
the
Trump's
mooch. How do you forget the mooch?
Had a job for like 2 days or something.
I thought it was like 45, but okay. Right.
Was it that long?
It was, a little over a month, I think.
It's hard to keep track. Anyways.
Yeah, okay. Since we're kind of talking about, like, dramatic scenes or interestingly shot things, let's just pause for a moment and think back to Frank's plastic surgery and how disturbing that was and how they didn't really even set... It was just, like, they were showing Christmas in Pam's household and then what Frank was doing and
that
what Frank
was doing.
That was
his Christmas present to himself.
Yeah. But is it a present to yourself if you're, like, spending money that belongs to the school?
Yeah, that's not yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
That was, like, really creepy. I was like, oh my God, what are they doing to him? And, yeah.
Assuming that scene was just added to show, like, Frank is spending the money, but also...
Vanity?
How vain he is.
Yeah. Well, there was definitely, like, a turn with Frank.
Mm.
He no longer became this nice guy once he started kind of covering his tracks. Here's an example. When he demotes Jenny, the niece of Pam, who's working in their office. He devotes her to working in utilities, and she tries to say, hey, like, I'm going to say something about what you did to my aunt. And he's like, so where'd you get that necklace from? And starts, like, complimenting her necklace, but saying, like, inferring that he knows that she's also spending the money. So you just see this, like, I wrote down that he's kind of like a master manipulator. Like, you see a side of him that, like, maybe it's more that he just, like, spends stuff. Because yeah, even also, when he's talking with the board.
Oh, go ahead. There's also the auditor. He does that, too, as well.
Yeah, he did that to Phil later on. Yeah. He made Phil feel bad for being involved in community theater. As if, like, wow, that's...
I mean, really... he isn't wrong that, like...
He didn't do his job.
When they were, like, auditor, like, really screwed us. Like, they're all, you know... We're not catching this stuff and should have caught it. But specifically, that is an auditor's job to make sure the numbers add up.
No.
And he should have been like, oh, we're paying $800,000 to this company. Like, who is this even?
Yeah, no. 100% Phil was not doing his job. But it's like, it wasn't just Pam and it wasn't just Frank. Phil was in on it to some extent by maybe just being negligent. But then it's kind of inferred... towards the end that Bob was in on it too, Ray Romano's character, because he like wrote the contract for Frank and said in there that like he could discreetly like use the money as he wanted and stuff, and like they Frank infers or says that Bob is like making millions of dollars and stuff, and so it's not just like one person. They all want to be like the oh, I'm the good guy in all this, but really, they're all somewhat in on it.
Yeah, I think maybe not to the. That's the lesson at the end of the day.
They're abusing their power, even if they're not doing it all the same way or the same extremities. Like they're still doing it, and so I think that was kind of cool how the story was unveiled in that way. Like you didn't know. Like at first you thought it was just Pam, then you thought it was just Pam and Frank, and it was like. Everybody's involved somehow at that level. Mm-hmm. I don't think the teachers were involved or anything. Maybe they were. Everybody knew. But yeah, I also just love movies that have that kind of journalistic search for truth to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like how that was part of the story too. Like Rachel's end.
Like what's she gonna find?
Yeah. And how she kind of convinced, and like this, like maybe we were saying this might not have been accurate to the real story, but she kind of, it was like just her project, like just her kind of find, and then she got the editor to kind of come on her side and look into this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I just think that I liked how that was done. How it was like, it's not just me who think, me as in Rachel, who thinks this is bad. Like, you don't really have to look that deeply into this and you will find something that is upsetting. And it's just, didn't really have to convince them that hard to, like, her dad was like, what? They spent this on this, and then the editor of the paper, you know. I just, I like that side of things as well. So I think this movie
was... You like that in a movie?
Yeah.
The investigative aspect.
Freaking Spotlight?
I knew this was
good. Dark Waters?
Yeah.
I love that. The search
I love for the truth. Montage of searching through documents, you know?
Yes!
Like, I specifically can picture the one in Dark Waters.
Yes! The room!
Yeah. It's got all the boxes, and they keep piling
it. Yeah, and for Rachel, it was just, like, all the papers were, like, strewn on the...
Strewn about? I feel like that's what it is.
Like, on her bedroom floor. And, yeah. That's always, like, an effective tool.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, no, these people are going to find the answer. Like, they think paperwork, they're just going to be buried in paperwork. No, there's a drive that they have. And as long as they show the drive kind of at the beginning, then you're, like, really with them and you get it. You're there. You're rooting for them. You want the bad people to end up in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, spoilers, they, Pam and Frank, both do for, like, a few years.
They're both presumably out now, I would assume, because if this took place in 2002, the longest I think Frank could have served was 12 years.
I thought it was 2 to 4. Was it 4 to 12?
It was 4 to 12. And then I think Pam's was 3 to 9. Yeah.
Okay. Still, yeah, they would have been out now. And I just think that is, I mean, let's just for a moment get all social justice-y, because
somebody gets caught with like an ounce of weed and they go away for 20 years.
It and doesn't these people seem
have stolen millions from taxpayers.
Right. It doesn't seem like a fair fate that people are having.
Doesn't seem like the scales of Lady Justice are really balanced.
Exactly.
Is she peeking through the blindfold?
Well, I mean, think about it. It's not that they just stole money. It's that the money that they took from the school, what it could have gone to would have affected like the entire district for the better. You know, they could have had like something like mold or something at this school from
could be affecting all the students' health.
Yeah.
Health.
You know, like, think about it like that. Like, that's impacting so many more people than someone just having drugs on them. Or even someone just, like, well, I don't know. I was going to say robbing, but maybe not. That's pretty bad. I'm just thinking, like, it doesn't seem like the criminal justice system is really...
You know, white-collar crimes, like armed robbery.
But... Is that a fair point? Like,
I don't disagree. Yeah,
I just,
especially with drug charges, it just seems so dumb when the person is usually only hurting themselves.
Yeah, I mean, just think of that. I think impact, like how many people you're impacting and like who it's affecting. I think that should play a role in your sentencing. And what they did was really terrible, and I don't know if. I don't know what the outrage was, but I hope it was strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope that, like, everyone...
Had you heard of this story beforehand?
No.
Me neither. I didn't know if, like, you got family in New York, maybe they...
Yeah, they don't live in Long Island, though.
Is it in Long Island or on Long Island?
True.
I feel like you live on an island.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, which also says something.
But I mean, some people in New York say they wait online instead of wait in line, which is weird.
Really?
Yeah, you've never heard?
No.
Yeah, some people say that. Like, wait online. It's like, what?
Like,
no.
Like on the computer?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So, it just makes you think about how messed up.
Do you wanna,
this world is.
Yep. Do you want to do final thoughts on the movie?
I had another point.
Okay.
Before. Okay. So, at the beginning of the movie, you definitely, like, get the sense that Frank is beloved. Like,
mm-hmm.
by his coworkers,
by parents,
by students. You know, it's really, I think, hard to get everyone on your side when you're at that kind of high level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like that's the image he has, and I just wanted, I mean, I know this is based on a true story, so maybe this really happened. That's pretty unique. Did you even know who your superintendent was when you were a kid?
When I was a kid or when I was like in high school?
Either.
In high school, yes, because he lived right next to my uncle who I mowed for.
Okay, that may be because you lived in kind of a smaller...
Yeah, we mowed his yard.
Okay, all right.
But before that, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's super typical. Because it's like an administrative role that you don't really see. I mean, if you were a parent, maybe you'd see them at like a PTA meeting type of thing. But yeah, they're kind of behind the scenes, I feel like. Whereas a principal, you know, students and parents and teachers, everybody interacts with.
Yeah. It did seem that this district, for some reason, had their district office at the high school.
So I don't know if that was just a thing to, you know, propel the the plot. Like, so he's in the building. So, like, a student can come and ask him about the thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because that would also be, like, a big deal to, if you're, like, writing a piece, to then go to the district office and get permission to speak with... Yeah, he didn't seem very accessible. So that does play a role. But I just think, like, I guess the question I have is, does anyone really love their superintendent? Or, like,
even know who they are? I love my healthcare provider.
Oh, my God.
I mean, not my healthcare provider. I love my insurance
company. My insurance company. I think that's important to, like, point out that maybe... Like I said, I know this is based on a true story, but maybe it's just not as realistic. And that being said, like, it's even more, like, shocking then that he had, like, pulled the... What is it? Pulled the wool over their eyes?
Yeah.
When he is so available and... You know, I don't mean to, like, make this kind of gross, but I thought of the connection... You know how, like, Larry Nassar, the gymnastics guy, was so friendly and, like, really had a good reputation and even pulled the wool over, like, the parents' eyes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's a technique that people do when they're doing kind of shady stuff.
Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer.
I mean, that...
Does that saying not apply here? Well, when in Rome. I still don't know what it means.
When in Rome?
I was quoting Anchorman, I'm sorry.
Do you not know? Too much of a stretch? Could you see the parallel there?
No, I see what you're saying. I was just trying to think of, like, another way to say it for you.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we can talk about final thoughts. Oh, wait, I thought of another thing.
Okay.
There's so much to talk about with this movie. So did you like the parallel from the beginning to the end? So, like, the beginning, it shows that he's at this big...
a little on the nose
speech with... It got the number 4, and mm-hmm. then kind of later on, or not even, like, a few minutes later, he has that parent meeting. And then at the end... They have that big speech, but they're all yelling at him. And then he has the same parent meeting, and she's no longer happy with him. It was still on the nose.
Oh, I thought you meant when he was in the jail, and then he, like, has the hallucination.
No, not that, like, the... I didn't really you meant care for that. Before that.
No, that was fine, yeah.
That was kind of cool how they did that, I thought. Let me think of a better word than cool.
Full circle.
Yeah, I think is a fun literary device and
mm-hmm.
to use. So, just didn't know if you noticed that.
Oh, I noticed.
Okay. All right, tell me your final thoughts.
I enjoyed the movie. Have we done? I'm sure we have, but off the top of my head, I can't remember any other ones based on true stories. I feel like it's a little tougher to do because it's not an original story, you know? So it's... I try not to give it as much credit for that because they don't have to come up with that. But like we said, had good cinematography. The music was well done. Thought it was well acted. They had some interesting devices they used, like we talked about, the strewn out
papers. The way they revealed things. Oh.
Yeah, and the way they revealed things of you thinking Frank's a good guy for like half the movie and then like the turn.
Yeah, love a good turn.
So I enjoyed it. I think it'll rank pretty highly for me. Okay. How about you?
It's interesting that you say you don't give it as much credit because it's based on a true story. Because I feel like you can still do a lot with that. I mean, a lot of movies are based on books, so, like, do we not give the screenwriters props, you know, for, like, majority of movies?
We have done one.
What?
The Lighthouse. I'm just kidding.
That was based on a story. Or are you looking and seeing? Okay, yeah. Let us know. Okay, so my final thoughts.
I guess Honey Boy, sort of.
Yeah. There anyway, we go. Honey Boy.
Do your final thoughts.
Okay. I would say that I really liked this movie. I thought it did an excellent job of, like, presenting the story and the way it revealed things and how it shot basically everything that we've talked about, already said. I thought it was well acted. I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say. I guess it left me a little bit wanting more, which is... I don't think that's always a bad thing.
Right.
Like, I wanted more background with Rachel, and I wanted... I guess I was the only person I needed more background from. But I thought that there was, like, even stuff that they could have gone further into. But definitely a theme in indie movies is they're very focused. They're either very focused on a certain event or they make a big deal about not having much of a plot. And so that is something that, despite the fact that that can be a bad thing sometimes, they did a good job with it and, you know, really made you be like, oh, well, that's a twist. Oh, whoa, what happened there? And yeah, give me a movie that a journalist is trying to get to the bottom of something and I am there for it. So, yes, I like this movie. It was really good. I mean, I don't want a blanket statement say that HBO does quality work, but they usually do.
Mm-hmm. So, I enjoy HBO.
Yeah.
All right, let's rank Bad Education.
Do you want to know, or do you want to go first?
You can go.
I want to rank it number 8 after the half of it.
Wow, you had it lower than me.
Really? Where'd you have it?
I was thinking like 6 or 7.
You act like that's so different than what I said.
I know, but the way you were talking about it, I feel like you liked it more than me, but then you ended up ranking it lower.
I mean, our top movies, like, we've watched a lot of duds, but, like, our top movies are top for a reason.
I think this is better than half of it.
Okay.
At least give me that behind yes. Honey Boy, then?
I don't think it was better than Honey Boy, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Better than half of it behind Honey Boy, so the new number 7?
Okay.
Alright.
Hey, it's been a while since we've had, like, a top one.
Yeah, a top 10.
Wah-wahs there.
Wah-wahs.
It's hit and miss.
Honey Boy was probably the last one.
That was a really good movie.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So, it'll be the new number 7 behind Honey Boy and before half of it. And then I will tweet out the rankings this week as well.
Okay. Is that all for rankings? Oh, we're pretty so. In agreement. I'm glad you liked it. I didn't know if you liked it as much as I did.
No, I did.
Okay.
All right.
I guess you liked it more than I did.
Apparently. Let's move into currently captivating positives. All right. Since you went first for rankings, I'll go first for currently captivating positives, which is the same for us. The move.
I put it in all caps. The move.
That you did. I see that now in your notebook. Thank you for sharing with the class. So, as we talked about, we moved to the Kansas City area. I think Kathy already said Olathe. But
yeah, and then I was like, oh, you want to know my apartment? You want to know my... Yeah. I got a little... I won't give you the intersection.
Thanks.
Yes, we moved. Tell me about it.
So, yeah, we're here now. Already enjoying the fruits of, like, having more friends around and being able to, like, hang out with people all the time.
It's really nice.
And, like, all the cool new restaurants we get to try, or...
Takeout. We're doing takeout, don't worry, guys.
Right. Or retry now that we're back, like, we've had before, but...
Yeah.
Like, Kathy, for instance, has never had Oklahoma Joe's for now Kansas City Joe's, but it'll always be Oklahoma Joe's. And she got to try that for the first time, so that was fun. Yeah, just enjoying the new apartment, working from home, so I'm here all the time, hitting me up.
Once again, not telling you where I live, just tweet at me.
What about you?
DM. My CCP, like you said, it's the same, is the move, I have a new job.
Oh, also, thank you to all the people who helped us move, obviously.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
My fam, your fam, Asher.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely don't think we could have done things as quickly as we did without
it. I was especially amazed how quickly, like, we loaded and unloaded. I mean, there's still, like, all the unpacking and putting together some furniture that we took apart, but just, like, sheerly moving, because we are in the third story, so we had to go up, like, 2 flights of stairs. Yeah.
You know, like, what it was?
In less than an hour, had everything all like moved up. And
determination. When you're doing something that's not, like, really that fun, you want to get it over.
I mean, it also has, like, the, you're riding high, like, yeah, we're living in a new place.
Yeah, it definitely was, like, more exciting than packing is, or than loading up to go somewhere. It's more like you're moving into this new place and this new, yeah, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, like, that high on life inspired us. Maybe.
I think breaking it up as well, because we loaded the previous night and then unloaded the next morning, I think that does help as well. Because if you do it all in one day, the loading and unloading, you're, like, oh, really exhausted, yeah, by the time you're
terrible.
Halfway through the unloading again.
Yeah, I'm just really happy to be here, close to a lot of friends. My sister lives in the area. Your family lives in the area. And so I just feel, like, more connected to our loved ones. And that's something that, like, I really think is important and I value. I just felt a little isolated in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, like, already not feeling that way here. I mean, I guess things could change, but I just think having your people nearby, it usually has a positive, as long as you surround yourself with good people, has a good effect on you. And I just, yeah, I'm liking my new job so far, and yeah, things are good right now. So, yeah, that's definitely something I'm feeling positive about.
Okay.
Let's talk about what we're doing next week. Next week, we're going to be watching the movie Tully, and we think you can find it on Amazon. This movie is kind of about, like, the downfalls and struggles of motherhood.
From what we could tell from the trailer.
Charlize Theron is in it. And
I'm sorry?
Charlize. Is that not how you say it?
I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought it was, like, Charlize.
Oh, shoot. Whatever. This movie came out in 2018, and like, ever since I had heard about it, I was like, oh, I want to watch that.
Another pretty recent one.
Yeah.
It's almost 2019.
I'm pretty excited about it. Mark Duplass is in it, too, which I didn't know.
Another, we've done one with him.
Yeah.
Your sister.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be good. I mean, I'm trying to, you know, manage expectations and stuff, but I have high hopes. I think it got some, like, critical acclaim as well when it came out.
And it was from the Juno people, right?
Yeah. I mean, Juno is, like, one of my all-time favorite movies. God, I love Juno. Anyway, I don't even know if that was audible. I love Juno. It's such a good movie. Everybody should watch it if you haven't already. Anyway, so that's what we're doing next week. We are back, you guys. We are here, you know, potting away. I do really love doing this with you. And
hopefully this new setup sounds okay so we can continue to do it. It's definitely more comfortable not being as crammed in the small closet.
Yeah.
Got this comfy seat. I can get up and stretch if I need to.
Although, don't do that on air.
You don't like that back pop?
I was just like, why are you doing that? They could hear that. But maybe they're impressed. Anyway. So,
Totally next week.
Don't forget to thank your loved ones.
And as much as I've said, I think, on here before, my candidate was not Joe Biden, but that's who we got, guys, and we don't want Trump, so go vote for him.
Dang.
I'm not saying go vote for somebody who's not Trump. Vote for a candidate who can win, and that's Joe Biden, and I will take him 99 out of 99 days. See, you thought I was going to say 99 out of 100. 99 out of 99 days over Trump.
So that's 100%.
Yeah. See, well, I switched it up there. Made it weird.
I just love how, like, you're like, please, go vote for Joe Biden. Do not vote for Trump. I mean, at this point, people know that we're pretty liberal and, like, it's pretty obvious, but no. There's no point in hiding behind anything.
I mean, I don't think I've been hiding before, but I feel like it's a very serious election.
It is.
I mean, look at our country currently. If we had better leadership, we wouldn't be in the scenario we are, all stuck at home still.
Amen, so. Brother.
Anyways, don't forget to vote.
We'll be back next Sunday.
Bye.